Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom? And welcome to the next episode of the Great British Chiefs Show with myself, Brad Simcox, and Arrowhead Lines editor, Tom Childs. How we doing, mate? You all right?
I'm doing well, mate. I'm doing really, really well, mate. Back again, episode 3. Excited to be here. It's been a funny month, hasn't it? It's been a real
funny month, mate.
Really crazy month. A lot has happened in the last 4 or 5 weeks.
And yeah.
A lot to talk about, that is for sure. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm very good. I think texting you before, I was saying I can't wait to get this month over with so I can actually get to, you know, to do more of these shows, because I'm really enjoying them at the minute. But monthly shows, that's good. I'm all right with that at the moment. what we're going to be talking about in this episode is we're going to be obviously discussing the Orlando Brown trade, which we'll give you our thoughts on that. We're also going to be discussing Mitchell Schwartz and his hinting that he actually wants to return back to the Chiefs. We're going to be touching on the draft a little bit, but we're just going to be looking at it from a British perspective, i.e. we don't know what we're talking about with the players, so this isn't a draft show before you even tuned into this. This isn't the draft show because we know the names. We don't watch the players in the college, so we have no idea how good these players are. But obviously, we'll give you our reactions on the positions that a lot of these teams have actually picked up. So we will be doing something like that. Also, we'll be talking about briefly about the AFC teams taking quarterbacks as well.
So we've got a packed show.
Packed show, mate, yeah.
If people aren't put off by the fact that you've just admitted that you don't know what we're talking about, that it's absolutely fine. If they're still here, they should enjoy it.
Tune in. If you want to listen to somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about, then give us a 5-star review. Anyway, we'll get into all of that in a minute. But there is actually some big news that is actually coming out of Arrowhead Pride, which we need to address. Mm-hmm. And it's a sad day, really, isn't it? Because the Nerd Squad is actually moving out of Arrowhead Pride to pastures new, aren't they? So
they are.
It's sad because I know you've actually worked with the guys quite a while now, haven't you, mate? So it's I just want to get your thoughts on this, really. This big news story. It's huge. It's huge.
Yeah, of course it is. And you only have to look at the reaction across social this week to them announcing that they're leaving Arrowhead Pride. The outpour of emotion, I suppose, has been generous towards them. It must be said. I'm sure they're overwhelmed by the reaction. I just want to say thank you to the three guys because they've been like truly entertaining and also good friends to myself over the last few years. Even when we were on the old Arrowheads Abroad show, we had Craig on, we had Kent on. They're just good guys and everyone enjoys listening to them, and rightly so. And I'm thankful because they've built up this podcast channel to what it is today. And it's down to us now to play a small part in helping carry that on. And whatever they go on to do, I know they're going to stay in covering the Chiefs, whatever they do as a threesome. I wish them the best of luck.
Yeah, I think you've covered everything there, mate. Like you said, they're very approachable guys as well. They even entertain me a bit on Twitter, which is good. but no, they're really good lads, and you touched on it there. The knowledge and skill that they have, you know, they've really kind of honed those skills over the years.
Exactly.
And, you know,
so no pressure then, mate.
No pressure at all. There's me just saying a minute ago, I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to the draft. And then, you know, we've got three guys there who are obviously, like I said, heading off somewhere new. So, best of luck to the lads. Wish them all the best. And, I hope they come back to us a little bit now and again to give us a few pointers.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, let's get chatting about the Chiefs news, because we've got obviously the big trade that actually happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited about this trade because I mentioned this trade a while ago. And I know you're smiling at me because you knew I was going to go, oh, Brad's going to big himself up with this.
Mm-hmm.
But It was a big trade, and it was something that I actually mentioned days after the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I sent a tweet out basically saying, I'm here for the Chiefs trading for Orlando Brown Jr.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was ever going to happen.
No.
If I'm being honest.
No,
and I think a lot of people were saying there's no way on this planet that the Ravens are going to trade with the Chiefs and make us stronger.
Yeah.
And they did exactly that.
Yeah, they're more for them. It's a funny old trade, really, because no one really expected it to happen for the reasons that you mentioned. Also, the Chiefs keep giving away draft picks for big players. And I know it's not the way you're meant to build a team, but it seems to be working for the Chiefs. But I didn't expect them to do this time around. Obviously, a month ago, I sat here and lambasted Brett Veach for how the Chiefs had behaved in free agency and how they hadn't managed to get a left tackle.
Yeah.
And here we are a month later, and now it's looking like a position of strength. And you have to give credit to Brett Veach for being aggressive and not settling for a rookie that he doesn't feel like will be able to start day one. He knows that we are still well and truly embedded into a Patrick Mahomes early years window here, with his contract not yet being as damaging as it possibly could be. So fair play to him attacking it. And I must admit, Brad, I do congratulate you for sending that tweet on February the 11th, 2 days after the Super Bowl, because I went back and found it. Yeah. And to acknowledge you on your thoughts, and I got you a present. And so, as you know, right next to you, you have a package. And I know this is no good for an audio podcast, but this package is unopened at the moment. So as I talk, can you please unopen it and tell the world, the listening world, what I have ordered for you?
Right. It is sealed. And I promise sealed. It came about a day or two ago.
Yeah.
And Tom says, on pain of death, do not open this until the show. So I'm going to do it now. I'm going to rip it open. See what the hell this is.
If you could do it anytime soon, so our audio listeners aren't going to switch off, that would be great. Maybe you should stick in some.
It's a custom printed T-shirt.
Why don't you stick in some like elevator music as we're waiting?
Brilliant! I'm holding it up to the camera, but obviously you can't see this. But it's a custom made T-shirt that says Brett Veach reads my tweets across the front. I'm going to wear that with pride. You know what? If we ever get to an NFL draft one day, I'm going to wear that. That's legendary, that, man. That's brilliant.
You should wear that around public, in the public.
I'll put a photo on. I'll wear it and I'll put a photo on. I'll send it to our head pride and try and get Pete to probably put it on or something like that. That's legendary, that, mate. Thank you very much.
No,
I'm wondering what you're up to.
I don't know, like, if other people feel like this, but I certainly do. Sorry to go off on a tangent, but do you ever find it when, like, you make a joke that you just find hilarious yourself, and you know that other people might not find it funny, but you just don't care because as you say it or write it or do it, you're just laughing to yourself? That's what I was like the other day when I was ordering this T-shirt. I was just sitting there on my phone, giggling to myself. Everyone around me, because I was doing it whilst I was at work, everyone around me thinking, what the hell is that bloke laughing at himself for? But I didn't care.
Mental, isn't he? He's absolutely off his head. I appreciate that, mate. It's really good. I really like that. It's the Chiefs colours as well. Like it. Brett Veach reads my tweets. I'm sure he does. But anyway, back to the Orlando Brown Jr. Obviously I'm ecstatic by it. I love the trade. It was just the perfect trade for me.
How do you feel about the price?
I thought it was actually not bad. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, the fact that the Veach got a second for it as well.
Yeah.
Just sweetened the deal for me.
Yeah.
I think if we didn't get that second, I'd probably think, probably a bit of a pricey one. But I think getting that second really helps us in this draft as well. So I'm stoked with it. What about you?
Yeah, no, I was happy with it. Like, now you're looking at the offensive line and you've got Joe Tooney and Orlando Brown on that left-hand side, which has always been a position of weakness for the Chiefs. Like, we've had Eric Fisher there, but for years the talk was about who was going to play next to Eric Fisher, and the Chiefs almost overcompensated for that because there wasn't a capable guard for Eric next to Eric Fisher for years. And now you're looking at Mahomes' blind side and you're thinking that's going to be set now for what, 4 or 5 years? By the time they've got Orlando Brown down to a deal, we've got Joe Tooney signed up for 5 years. It'd be nice not having to worry about that side of the offensive line.
Yeah, I think the main thing I liked about him, he really has that passion, that heart, because he's basically made a promise to his dad, didn't he, that he was going to be a left tackle one day and he was going to try and be the best left tackle that he can be. And what he said at the press conference was brilliant when he said, you know, I don't want to be the reason that Patrick Mahomes isn't clean. Nobody in this world is going to touch Patrick Mahomes. And that's really got the Chiefs fans on side, which I really liked about him. He's a good locker room kind of guy as well, which is everything what we need in the Chiefs. So really
and the
appreciate
fact that the Ravens let him come to Kansas City clearly shows how highly they think of him as a person. Because they could have quite easily kept hold of him, but they didn't want to hold him back. He's obviously a good guy. They obviously have a lot of respect for him and his family. Obviously, his dad played there before he did. And so it seems like we're getting a good one in Orlando Brown. I'm happy.
It showed a lot of class from the Ravens, for sure. The other news that came out as well was, while we're talking about the offensive line, Mitchell Schwartz was reportedly interested in coming back to the Chiefs, or he's wanting to come back to the Chiefs. And that kind of set off a bit of a tidal wave of emotion, because everyone was like, can you imagine this line, this offensive line with Mitchell Schwartz on the other end as well as Orlando Brown Jr.? Man, that looks tasty, doesn't it?
Yeah, I had the pleasure of breaking down the interview for the website. Mitchell Schwartz yesterday was on 610 with Carrington Harrison talking about his rehab and his potential return. And listening to the interview, you can see that there's a clear desire for the guy to get healthy and to come back and play. And he clearly wants to stay in Kansas City. He's taken up permanent residence in Kansas City now, so that's going to be his forever home. And he wants to play for the team. I don't know if you saw the tweets going around on Thursday, but Chris Jones was talking about how he loves Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes in quote tweeted saying, oh, me too. Quote tweeted it was Tyreek Hill, and he said, oh, me three. And then finally, it was Mitchell Schwartz who quote tweeted Tyreek Hill saying, me four, oh, dot, dot, dot. So he feels a little bit left out at the moment. But I'm sure he wants to come back into that circle. And if he can get healthy, it's a big if, because back issues are a problem. He's probably going to have a back issue for the rest of his career now. So if he can learn to play with it and play well with it, then it makes all the sense in the world to get Mitchell Schwartz signed up to this team, because they have the cap space to do it. He's not going to be veteran minimum type of guy.
No,
he's probably not going to earn what he was going to earn last year or this year before they cut him, but still get him signed up. If you sign him up, you're looking at an offensive line with what? Orlando Brown, Joe Tooney, Austin Blythe, Kyle Long, or LDT, and then Mitchell Schwartz at right tackle. Like,
that's mouthwatering.
If you look at the replies and the comments on the website, you can see how excited people are about that potential offensive line. And everyone's saying, oh, it'd be the best offensive line since Shields and Roaf and those guys. Yeah, and you have to be, like, you think about it and you go through the offensive lines that Andy Reid has had, and you go through the offensive lines in the Todd Haley era, the Cronell era, the Herm era, and you think, actually, these guys are probably right. It probably would be the best offensive line that the Chiefs have had in what, nearly 20 years. And if you stick that in front of Patrick Mahomes with the weapons that he will have, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the background, it won't matter what we do on defense if we've got that offensive line in front of the best player in the league.
Well, it was proven that, wasn't it? Since the Super Bowl, it was the offensive line that we really desperately needed to help Mahomes work. And it's strange to think that the Chiefs have managed to address this in like 2 months. I mean, it's completely a different O-line from what it was that was playing in the Super Bowl. It's completely different. And I just can't wait for the season to start already, because if that's the O-line that we've got and it's that mouthwatering, definitely. Let's roll on to the season and let's just see what this team can do, because
I'm not quite as keen as that yet. I enjoy the little break. Like, I used to think, oh, the NFL offseason is too long. Now I feel like it's not long enough.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah.
I want it now. I want it now, mate.
No, but obviously, if they do get Schwartz in, he's going to be like the only returner from from last year. So it's going to take a little time for them to get used to playing with each other with communication issues and whatnot. So they're going to have to make the most of the OTAs if that happens, and then training camp, of course. So it'd be interesting to watch. It'd be an interesting development to see if they do go after Schwartz and see what happens with Mike Remmers and Lucas Niang. Do they sign Schwartz just to a one-year deal while they give Lucas Niang his true redshirt year? Because he didn't get that last year, of course. He wasn't in the building. So it's definitely something to watch in the next few weeks for sure.
All right, mate, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the draft and everything that we noticed on the first day of the draft. All right, welcome back to the Great British Chiefs Show. We're going to be discussing a little bit about the draft. Obviously, like we said at the beginning of the show, we're not going to be going into the great detail of the players and everything.
Because apparently we don't know what we're talking about.
Well, I'll say the royal we. You have a bit more than what I do on that area, mate. But let's just say the royal we don't know what we're talking about when it comes to the players in the draft. But if you want to know Arrowhead Pride's thoughts on the draft, obviously listen to the other podcast with the nerds, and they will give you their thoughts on everything that's happened during the draft so far. But what we wanted to do, we wanted to give you our own kind of personal view of how the draft was different to last year, obviously because of everything that happened with COVID. I actually quite enjoyed the COVID draft, believe it or not. I really enjoyed it. But this draft, obviously, it looks as though everything's getting back to normal. Mm-hmm. There's a few little tweaks here and there that still kind of has that kind of COVID feel to it. Obviously, people wearing masks still. Yeah. And the players in their own kind of family pods that are actually at the venue. But there was also another thing that it's kind of, I want to get your thoughts on this, but the fan chair. there's been a bit of a discussion between us about this chair thing. What do you think of it?
Right, so if that chair was an NFL player, it would be Tavon Austin.
Like, really?
Yeah, just the ultimate gadget. That's all it would be. I must be clear, we're recording this on Friday lunchtime, so we've only seen the first day of the draft. We haven't seen what the NFL has in store for day two and three. And by the time you're listening to this, I should imagine that the whole draft is over by now.
Yeah.
But the chair is just comical. Like, I just didn't get it. I just thought it was awkward. Like Roger Goodell, he comes across as like an awkward guy at the best of times. Like I've met him. I met him in London and he was lovely. He was a nice guy and he was very generous with his time, but I did get the impression that he was a bit awkward.
He was awkward with talking to you, or he was
maybe he didn't like me, but I just felt a bit awkward. Like, who is this guy? What is he talking about? Like, seriously. Is it true what they say about British people and teeth?
All his thoughts going round in his head. If he has fish and chips for breakfast.
I just didn't get it, and
I didn't understand it either.
For next year, and I know people might not like this because the draft's going to Kansas City in 2 years time, but if you had to offer me the virtual draft or like what we saw this weekend, I would take the virtual draft.
Really?
Every single time. I really, really would. The one positive thing about this draft though was I got the sense that we're finally getting back to normality. We haven't seen anything like what we saw in Cleveland happen in the UK yet. We're not at that point yet where we're getting lots of large crowds together and people hugging. Even seeing Roger Goodell hug players was just like, oh my God, people are hugging. And
the players were high-fiving the fans down the side as well, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just seeing little things like that made me feel good and made me feel better about what's to come. But the actual event itself, give me the virtual draft over the awkwardness of yesterday's event and that fan chair.
That fan chair, yeah, it was very. I can see what they were trying to do. They were trying to get it more like a fan involved kind of atmosphere and feeling to it, wasn't it?
Get fans announcing picks, like do away with Roger Goodell. Just get fans announcing picks.
I'm with you on that.
That's what they should do. Roger Goodell coming up with the 10th pick of the 2017 NFL draft.
Yeah.
Kansas City Chiefs select Patrick Mahomes, quarterback. Yes, it's an iconic saying. Yes, we all love it. Yes, we all watch it every year. It's now like a national holiday for Chiefs fans. But how much better would that have been if you had a Chiefs fan there that actually liked Patrick Mahomes first and foremost, and the excitement of being there for when they finally drafted a first round quarterback? It would have been a better moment. And that's the way I feel about the draft. Yes, they do it in the later rounds, but just do it the whole way through. Just get Roger Goodell, sit on his little chair and watch, and then have the fans sitting in there announcing picks.
It was nice to get the booze back for Roger Goodell, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, true. Very true.
Yeah, that felt normal. But no, I'm with you. I mean, the previous draft was really good. I mean, it had some really funny stories in it, didn't it? I remember the CeeDee Lamb girlfriend mobile phone incident and all that kind of thing. There was the Belichick dog.
Yeah.
You know, there was all sorts of funny things like that. It was like seeing these players in their own domain.
It was
like gold. It was pure gold.
Did you see the Seahawks tweet yesterday where they said, live to the draft room. And obviously they haven't got first round pick because they traded off of Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
They've got hardly any picks at all this year, but it went to their draft room. And all it was just cardboard cutouts of all of their executive team and Carol and John Schneider and everyone. It's just cardboard cutouts in their war room. It was phenomenal. I had a lot of time
for it. Top trolling that, like. Yeah. Let's obviously have a look at the positions that the teams have picked, especially like the AFC teams. Mm-hmm. There's some new quarterbacks in there. Again, we're not going to touch on them. I only know the names, but I'm told they're good, and I'm told they've got unique talents and all that kind of thing. But I'm more interested in obviously the position and need for a lot of these teams.
Yeah.
Now the crazy thing for me was I actually thought. The Denver Broncos were going to be going in to get their quarterback because it seems clear now that the Drew Lock era is already over before it's even begun. But you know, even the likes of the Patriots getting their quarterback of the future, which I'll be honest, I'm a little disappointed that they managed to get him just literally fall on the lap.
Yeah, I'm not.
You're not. Ian. No, I'll tell you why I'm a bit cheesed by it is because they never used any picks to move up.
Yeah.
Which it annoys me, and I don't know why it annoys me, but it just annoys me that it just literally fell on the lap.
Do you know how many quarterbacks drafted between Matt Ryan and Patrick Mahomes are still with their team now? Do you know how many first round quarterbacks that were drafted between Matt Ryan in 2008 and Patrick Mahomes in 2017 are still with their team?
No.
24 quarterbacks got drafted in that time in the first round. None. Zero. Nada. Are still with their team. That's why I'm not bothered.
What you're saying is the stats are on our side.
Yeah, that's why I'm not bothered about any team taking a quarterback because it's just luck. Whether and anyone that's massively into evaluation is going to be like berating me here, saying you don't know what you're talking about. That's not true. But historically, stats are on my side because Patrick Mahomes was only drafted 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And none of the quarterbacks drafted before him, not your Brandon Whedons, your Blake Gabberts, your Jake Lockers, all of these Cam Newton, none of them are still with their team. All of them have been dealt or released in that time. So five quarterbacks getting drafted yesterday, chances are that at least two or three of them haven't got their quarterback of the future. Are you telling me that Trey Lance, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are all going to be great players? It's just not going to happen. It made me laugh whilst I was watching the draft because it said, Trevor Lawrence, generational player. Zach Wilson, the next Patrick Mahomes. Trey Lance will deliver a Super Bowl for San Francisco 49ers. No, it won't. No, it won't. You telling me all three of those players are going to be like world-beating, world-class talents? It's just not going to happen. It doesn't work like that in the NFL. Go back a couple of years to the Baker Mayfield draft. He's still with his team. Josh Allen's still with his team. Lamar Jackson still with his team. But then you've got Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold, who have both been dealt by their team. Josh Rosen's been dealt twice since that draft. Chances are at least two of those quarterbacks drafted in the first round on Thursday night aren't going to be their team in 2 or 3 years' time. That's why I'm not worried. I'll worry when they show me something. I'll worry if they do a Justin Herbert in the pros and see them coming into Kansas City and causing the Chiefs trouble or beating the Chiefs in the playoffs, then I'll worry about those quarterbacks. But until I see it, nah, I'm not bothered. The Patriots can have Mac Jones. They can sign Hunter Henry. They can sign Jono Smith-Schuster. Jono Smith. They can sign all of these players. But until I see that quarterback play well in the pros, I'm not scared.
No, I'm not scared, but I mean, I just wanted them to really kind of deal the house, right? Just bet the house, move up to, I don't know, maybe fourth, fifth or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You waste the picks, get a quarterback, and then him just not turn out right. That's what that was the ideal scenario for me.
Yeah, but even still, they're wasting first rounders. They're wasting time because if these quarterbacks turn out to be useless or not be the answer, they're not only wasting picks, they're also wasting time on these players because they're not going to give up on them after a year, are they? They're going to give them 1 or 2 years at least. And if they're still going with those guys, then that means they're not addressing quarterback whilst they're there either. So it just pushes everything back. That's why I like the Chiefs approach. Going for a quarterback once every 30 years in the first round. Just make sure it's the right guy first, you know, before you do it. That's why I've got a lot of time for Chris Ballard and what he said earlier in the offseason as well.
Yeah,
he come out and said, everyone wants us to draft a quarterback, but I would sooner wait for the right quarterback as opposed to just drafting one because the media and fans tell us we need to. And I've got a lot of time for patience when it comes to GMs. Despite me saying Brett Veach should get an F of free agency last month. But when it comes to the quarterback position, just go for the right player. Don't settle. And I feel like teams were settling yesterday.
Yeah, seemed to be. I mean, the thing that really kind of, I think, helped Mac Jones drop into the Patriots' lap was the fact that, I mentioned it before, the Denver Broncos didn't actually pick up a quarterback, which they did sign Bridgewater, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just days before the draft, really. And even still, though, I think Bridgewater is obviously a better upgrade than what Drew Lock was.
Yes, but very well in Kansas City last year.
Yeah, but I don't know. Is he the future? Is he going to be there a while? He has been bouncing around a few teams at the moment. Mm-hmm. So it really surprised me that they didn't actually go for a quarterback in this. But you didn't seem that surprised, did you?
No, I'm not. Like, they got Teddy Bridgewater, who's like the ultimate bridge quarterback. And maybe for once, the Broncos realized, actually, maybe we shouldn't throw assets at the quarterback position just for the sake of it. Mm. Maybe their guy was Zach Wilson. Maybe their guy was Trevor Lawrence. They realized they weren't going to get them, so they didn't settle. And I'm sure if Justin Fields was their guy or Matt Jones was their guy, they would have drafted them. Yeah. I have no doubt. And so I actually admire the Broncos for not reaching out and trying to force a trade or a draft for a quarterback when it wasn't entirely necessary and doesn't fit their plans right now. Teddy Bridgewater, perfect for a year or two. Beyond that, not so much. But they've got time. They've got a young team in Denver, so they don't need to rush anything.
Right. Anyway, we're going to touch on a little bit on the other side of the pond. On a big news story that happened recently before the draft, which is in relation to soccer. Now, I know there's quite a few fans do like watching the English Premier League and they like the soccer, the European soccer and everything. You may have heard, and I think the whole world heard about this, there was this new European Super League, which was created by all these big teams, all the big teams in Europe.
Tottenham.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Sorry.
But yeah, these Super Six, as they were calling them in the English Premier League, which involved the likes of Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea, Arsenal, your team, and some other teams, obviously, in Europe, such as Real Madrid and Barcelona and blah, 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 blah. Now, that European Super League lasted a couple of days.
Yeah.
But it actually got us thinking, didn't it? If there was ever a kind of breakaway league in the NFL, which was like a super league instead of just the NFL, which teams would be part of the Super Six, let's say, that we got from the from the English Premier League?
Okay, so how are we going to do this? Are we going to do one at a time?
I think you should just give us... I think we should just all go... Me and you, just give us our six.
I should have thought about this beforehand.
I must admit, I've not really prepared this either. Professional. So,
100% Kansas City are in it. Patrick Mahomes, best guy in the league. Right now, if you're doing a Super... it's not a historical...
Right now,
It's a Super Six right now. Yeah. And so, and Chiefs, Tampa Bay, defending Super Bowl champions, 100%. Dallas Cowboys,
Cowboys? Yeah, are they the Tottenham?
They could be Tottenham's but, you know, money, franchise, huge club. Green Bay Packers?
Yeah.
Probably.
Would you say Patriots?
No, not right now.
No?
Yeah, go on then. We'll stick the Patriots in. And then probably between the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers.
Really?
You put the 49ers? I'll probably go 49ers. They've got the historical success as well as recent success, as well as huge fan base.
Yeah.
So, is that the six? Green Bay, San Francisco, Dallas, New England, Tampa Bay, and Kansas City. That's the six breakaways.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think on Kansas City, obviously, it's a Chiefs show, obviously, but only because really, obviously, the recent champions, face of the league, quarterback. You know, every player and the dog really want to be here. You know, they are one of the big hitters at the minute. I would put in the Patriots because of their legacy, basically. You know, they've been the team to beat over the last 20 years, so I would actually put them in there. I mean, I know obviously they had a bad season last year, but was that really a bad season, or were they just tanking? Who knows? After that, I think, you've got to put Tampa Bay in. I think you're right. Recent champions. I don't think I'll put the Cowboys in.
There's no way in hell that you could create a Super League without Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones.
You just can't do it. Like, even as bad as the team are, Jerry Jones just wouldn't have it.
He wouldn't allow it.
It wouldn't be allowed. He would shoehorn his way into that league. He would move heaven and earth to get into it. So you just might as well embrace it and just say, yeah, go on, Dallas. You can be the whipping boys.
Yeah, you can be the Spurs. You can be the Tottenham. You can get in there. Yeah, no problem. How many have I got now?
Four.
Ravens. And I haven't put the Bills in there.
No, why?
What do you mean, why?
Why?
Because they're good. They're good right now.
Yeah, but they're not good and historically good. They've never won a Super Bowl. They can't go in there.
Well, they've been to four straight Super Bowls.
Yeah, they can't go. No, I tell you, it's Green Bay and San Francisco. It has to be.
All right, I'll put Green Bay instead of the Bills then.
Okay.
I'm not putting Niners in. No chance. That was a good segment, wasn't it? Well, I think that's all we've got time for on the Great British Chiefs Show. As mentioned before, if you can give us a review, give us a 5-star review, that would be wonderful. And you can catch the show monthly where we'll be doing the Great British Chiefs Show on Arrowhead Pride Network. And all that's left to say is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon.